Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Look what I have in my hot little hands this morning, Stink. Cecil Lammy filling in for Mike Evans. It's the 2019 schedule for the Denver Broncos. In 100 seasons of the NFL, man, they make a big deal out of this thing, huh?
Yeah, you know, I used to do this for ESPN all the time, and I go out there, and it's the schedule release show. And so they'd hand me all these games. What are you looking at? And I'd be like, I don't know, man, but that looks like a good game. Yeah, it is funny. I mean, that, like, and this is the NFL's allure. This is what they do. Like, they've known since December who plays who. Now it's just the actual dates.
Right.
Right. Now it's the actual dates that they release.
The order in which they'll play.
Right. And it just goes to show you how incredible, insatiable the appetite is for NFL stuff, NFL news, NFL anything in this country. And I know people get upset with it, that people get mad about it. Like, the Avs played a great game. Great overtime win. Phenomenal. It was great. What they were able to do and Rannan getting that goal in overtime, even after warding off a penalty, killing a penalty, being able to do that and winning overtime. It was a phenomenal game last night, but this is what the NFL does. And this is why the NFL reigns supreme. The NFL can make news out of nothing, and they have created a situation where they're inclusive. So, my thought about them is, come fans that don't know anything about our game. You play fantasy. Get to know it.
Right.
Right? Everybody's included. Everybody. You know, come all.
Right. And check it out. We got a schedule release party. What a bunch of fun.
Yeah. But they've done a great job of capturing the fringe fans and giving the fringe fans something to be excited about. And I think a lot of that has to do with the popularity of fantasy football and, you know, almost feeling like if you're not involved in some fantasy league, then you're missing out.
Right, right. Well, the NFL does a better job than any other sport of capturing the casual fan. You want to be huge, you want to be dominant. I know that hardcore fans hate the bandwagon fans or casual fans, but hey, you want your sport to grow? You want people to talk about the schedule being released and making a big deal of it? Well, capture the casual fan.
That's what it comes down to. And the NFL has done that. I mean, you think about what the NFL has done. Like, this is how big the NFL is. And I know people get sick of it, but this is how big they are. They pushed back the Super Bowl because of the bye weeks and stuff. So Daytona didn't say, hey, screw you. We got the biggest car race in the world. We're going to, no, what they do, they said, oh, you're going to push back? Okay, we'll move our weekend.
Right. They'll move their Super Bowl.
We'll move our Super Bowl for you guys. I mean, that's, and you have to, I think you have to understand that. I think you really have to embrace, you have to embrace the game that way. And you've got to be able to find that casual fan, the excitement. Like, NHL hockey is exciting, especially playoff hockey.
Playoff hockey is really exciting.
Really exciting. I mean, it's a great sport. But again, capturing that casual audience, like this was, the schedule release was a big deal. They had a bunch of, I know ESPN did a show on it last night. They've had a bunch of, you know, I mean, this is something that people talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know what people love to do? It drives me crazy, but people love to do this. They love to go through the schedule. I have it right here. All right, Monday, Oakland. That should be a win. All right, next Sunday.
I want to know.
Right, September 15th.
Right.
Game number two, Chicago. Ooh. That defense, I don't know.
It's at home.
It's at home, though, right? And they go through all these things at Green Bay. You know, I mean, it is, it's just interesting. Like, everybody, you have no idea how new quarterbacks on teams are going to mesh. Like, Jacksonville, there's a game.
Nick Foles.
Is Nick Foles going to mesh in that offense? And I don't know. You tell me. So it does make it exciting because you have no idea. You speculate, but you have no idea.
Right, and everybody loves to do that. Like, that's why everyone's like, oh, I see him about 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the hot take, right? And then, you know, you do the self-assured sniff. Like, yeah, I looked over the schedule. I see about 8-9 wins. Actually, right. That's what I did yesterday, too. I see about 9 wins. But they do have the second toughest schedule. Does that mean anything when you look at strength of schedule? Do you take into account that at all, saying, well, they do play the second toughest schedule?
Yeah, you're one injury away from you know, having what they did last year isn't indicative of what they're going to do this year. And you are one or two injuries away in this league from being a really good team to being a really bad team. So I don't look a whole lot at strength of schedule. I think more importantly is look at the quarterbacks you play, right? Because you're going to play at Indianapolis and Andrew Luck. You're going to play Kansas City twice. You're going to play Cleveland. You're going to play Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay. You're going to play the L.A. Chargers with Phillip Rivers twice. You know, those are pretty tough opponents, to say the least.
Deshaun Watson down the stretch. You know, Kirk Cousins, we'll see what they do. Matthew Stafford, week 16, there before Christmas. So, yeah, okay, get the schedule released. It's out. We know it. We know the order. We also know there's a week 10 bye, which is the one thing I don't really put a lot of weight into strength of schedule stink, but I do look at where the bye's at. Uh-huh. Week 10, that's a pretty good spot.
Yeah. The bye week is always, I think as a player, you always look at, that's one of the first things you do. As you go through your schedule, and go, okay, what do we have to buy? And, you know, you always have to sell it to yourself if it's early. Because the coaches will tell you, well, you know, you think about, we've got 5 weeks of preseason this year. So if it's at week four, it's really the middle of the season. It's like 9 weeks in. And you're like, yeah, we're, and you're like, in your mind, you're going, no, that's not really how it works.
They're lying to me.
Yeah. So it's really good. It's really good to have it later. Week 10, as you mentioned. That's a good thing for any football team to have that week's rest. Where are we? Do we have a Thursday night? We do have a Thursday
night. One Thursday night against Kansas City, and then the Monday night game. No Sunday night game is all. And that's the creme de la creme now. Sunday night football is overtaken Monday night football. It's been that way for a while. And the Broncos will not be featured on Sunday night football this year.
Yeah, and I understand why. I mean, I get you can't go 5-11 and 6-10. In back-to-back years,
right.
And think you're going to get, you know, you think you're going to get a Sunday night game. It is taken over as the event, if you will.
Right, right. Well, taken over as the event last night was the Avs' big win. Now, when I checked in, they were down 2-1 in the third, but they did make that storm. They did come back and they did weather the storm, Stink, which yeah. We talked about yesterday.
Yeah, and you know it was interesting when they were down. 2-0. You know, you watch the way they played. They played aggressive, good hockey. You knew that that was going to be a challenge. You knew that Calgary was going to empty the tanks. And they, you know, got down 2-0. They found a way to fight back, scored a late goal in the third to tie it up, overcame had to kill a penalty in overtime. And then right after they got full strength, after they killed the penalty, great play, McKinnon to Ratnan for a goal, which was, it was just awesome. So, tip of the cap to the Colorado Avalanche. What a run, right? 3-1. Just got to win one. Going out to Calgary, on Friday for a game? It's a good run by the Avs. It's a really good run by the Avs. It's really exciting.
You got to feel really good about where they're at and what they're doing right now.
And the way they're playing right now, you say, hey, like, I know we snuck into the playoffs and we were the last wild card in, but they're playing as well as anybody right now. Grubauer's playing great between the pipes, and they've got a bunch of guys that are just playing like superstars.
Yeah,
like the big guns, the guys that have to get it done, the Radnans, the McKinnons, all those guys. Man, I tell you what, Landeskog's, they're getting it done. Your big players got to come and play big, and that's what the Avs are doing right now. So they could take on anybody. I wouldn't have a fear about them playing any other hockey club.
All you got to do is get to the dance, and then we'll see what the Avs can continue to do. Why did Rich Scangarello use this one word to describe Joe Flacco? Is he actually right? The word and the reasons why, next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
It was easy to evaluate that year and watch him play that season because they did some similar things. But yeah, I think that there was knowledge of that because of the system. The history with Gary and John, and then of course just being able to evaluate it. Just he's a perfect fit for the type of style of offense we play.
There's Rich Scangarello, Broncos' new offensive coordinator, calling Joe Flacco perfect. Or at least the perfect fit.
Perfect fit.
Right.
Yeah. Which is, so, yeah, like, listen, Joe Flacco, obviously, what he did in 2014 underneath Gary Kubiak, that was big. And, you know, I mean, you look at what Joe Flacco is. He's a drop-back guy. He can play action. He's got a big arm, so you can exploit, you know, the outside edges of a football field. You can throw it across the field.
Flacco is tall.
You can get it down the middle. I mean, you can do all those things. So, you know, Flacco is a legit, big-time NFL quarterback if you're building around Flacco. I mean, if you're giving him the proper tools to make sure that he can, you know, he can do the things he needs to do, stay upright in the pocket and all that kind of stuff.
Right, and stay in the pocket. Right. No boot keep, no anything like that. Like, I think we should see straight drop back, play action, and fire some deep shots. Because as you well know, Stink, and watching the All-22, like, a lot of teams are squatting today. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams are, no, you're not going to have time, you're not going to want to go deep. So they're staying within the, you know, 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. Flacco can stretch that.
Yeah, there is no question. Obviously, you have to be protected, and there's so much of the underneath game where, you know, teams look at it like, oh, this is an extension of the handoff, and we can do this, and, you know, and they exploit holes. But basically, you know, the way it always works is that you get a lot of in the field, you get a lot of cover three, and so what ends up happening is the weakness of that coverage for the most part is out in the flats. Because your corner has got to stay deeper than the deepest, right? So he's got to run, and somebody's got to get underneath the curl. And so the defender that is in charge of that, oftentimes one side, that defender has got to be 12 yards deep, and he's got to rally up and make a play if you throw it in the flat for a two-yard gain. And it's a really hard thing to do. And there's some guys that are great at it, and there's some guys that just aren't very good at it. If you watch the New England Patriots, man, they make a living exploiting. I remember 2 years ago they went to the Chargers, and I think their running backs had like 14 catches for 140 yards. I mean, it was ridiculous.
It was mostly James White.
Right. It's just dump it off over here. And so you get a lot of that. There's a reason that a lot of teams don't push it down the field is because they have the philosophy of we'll take what they give us and we'll just make these easy completions and we'll push it down the football field. And I think it's one of the reasons that you always get into, well, you know, from a scouting standpoint, you talk to guys who are like, well, he's not very accurate. And you say, well, what offense is he running? Huh? Well, I mean, is he running an offense where he's dumping the ball in the flat 14 times and throwing, you know, five bubble screens?
Right.
Because he's going to be really accurate.
College football's full of that now.
Right. If that's the case, then he's going to have a real high completion percentage. But he's in an offense where it's more pro style and he's pushing the ball down the field and taking those chances. You know, it's going to be different. So I think you always have to be, you've got to be concerned with that stuff.
There's a growing sentiment around UCL's training center that Flacco is the guy Elway loves. Not necessarily Drew Locke, not necessarily Dwayne Haskins, although that seems to be a popular name when we suggest who could be there at 10. Okay, Scangarello just said perfect fit. Is this the ride-or-die quarterback and no QB at 10, no plan for the future, just plan for let's see what we can get with Flacco for 3 years?
Yeah, I think that's the direction they're going. I think there's no question that they're going to look at Flacco like Flacco can get us through the next 3-4 years and be very efficient. I think one of the things that everybody's looking at right now in the league is, you know, with the protection of the quarterback from a rule standpoint, with the protection of the receivers from, you know, getting absolutely undressed on the line of scrimmage. I mean, there's so many rules that point toward creating offense that you would have to look at Flacco and say, man, this guy's got a lot of experience. And now look at the quarterbacks who are playing really well deep into their careers. They're playing better, you know, at 36 and 37 than they did at 26 and 27. You know, Tom Brady will tell you right off the bat, I'm a much better quarterback at 41 than I was at 28 or even 31. So I think teams are looking at the longevity aspect of it, the fact that, you know, you can't hit those guys, you can't pile drive those guys, you can't do that. These guys are going to last a lot longer. And that experience, there's no, you know, you can't make up for that experience.
And now we've got Flacco running the show as that perfect fit for the Denver Broncos. And then we're just kind of waiting to see if they add more weapons for him. And that's kind of, if I were to take a stab at it today, obviously I got the draft on my mind. It's a week from today.
Mm.
I'm going to say tight end at 10. If I take a stab at it today, tight end at 10 because of Flacco, because of his history with tight ends.
Right.
Does that sound about right?
That'd be great. Unless, what if Hockenson goes like 9 to Detroit? Or
you're trading back.
Right.
You're trading back. The chances of them trading back are very high.
I think that's where I was at. I think they'll trade back. But again, you got to find somebody to dance with. You got to find a partner, and you want to get great value. You know, so it's one of those situations. I think the good thing for them is there's going to be, I think the pick is going to be there. I think it's Haskins will be there. I think Locke will be there. And I think, you know, Daniel Jones will be there. So I think there's going to be somebody, whether it's Cincinnati at 11, whether it's Miami at 13, whether it's, you know, Washington at 15, or whether it's the Giants at 17, which has been my prediction, there's going to be somebody that's going to jump up there and give you great value so they can get their quarterback.
Are you and Evans still going to do your mock draft? Because remember last year he predicted Philip Lindsay as like seventh rounder to the Broncos. And
right.
He broke his arm patting himself on the back after that.
Yeah, yeah. And I got Fumagalli. I think I got him in the fifth round or something. So in our mock draft. Yeah, I mean, we'll probably do our mock. We'll mock
your
the mock.
Your mock draft?
Yeah, we'll mock the mock.
You'll mock the mock?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll be waiting for that. I know I figured out why maybe you felt a little bit off yesterday, too. Did I didn't tell you this?
Uh-uh.
You went one day without talking about D-Mac and Evans and the khaki pants.
All
and
right.
D-Mac crazy Hall of Fame 5.
Ooh,
like,
snap.
Yeah, you went one day without talking about it yesterday, brother. Was, you know,
it's probably
it's unusual.
Yeah, exactly what's going on. It's got me in a funk.
Well, the Avs, they're not in a funk. They're winning. And we'll go over that and more next in the Morning Brew.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. It's some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on!
I mean, yeah, there's always going to be things you're going to want to know, like when your bye week is, and, you know, there's some things that you can look at and start to prepare your mind for. But in reality, it's that stuff's a long ways away. I'm taking it one step at a time, and we got a long ways to go before we get to the opener. And, yeah, excited about wherever it takes us, and we'll control that. We'll worry about that as we get a little closer to it. I really haven't thought about it much, so.
There's Broncos new OC Rich Scangarello kind of poo-pooing the Broncos schedule release, which was yesterday.
He
generally agree?
He kind of sounds like, Ben, can you find me some, can you find me, what's a Rams coach's name?
Sean McVay.
Yeah, Sean McVay. He kind of sounds a little bit like Sean McVay.
I was thinking he sounds like David Spade. I don't know why, but I was like, I've seen this guy in some sort of rom-com. Like, Rich Scangarello, like, sounds like David Spade or something. I couldn't place it.
Let's get those two, sound bites from both those guys, and we'll cruise through this and get to the end, because I think this is more important than anything else we're going to do. Who does Rich Scangarello really sound like? Is it your guy, David Spade?
Maybe.
Or is it my guy?
Would you respond if that guy was yelling
Sean
at
McVay.
You? Okay. Manilo, man, look at this guy.
Here
already
he
got
not?
The Sean McVay.
He's an impressive.
Is this McVay or Scangarello?
He's an impressive human being. He's very secure in himself. I think he'll do a great job as a leader.
Okay, now do the Scangarello.
I mean, yeah, there's always going to be things you're going to want to know, like when your bye week is. And very secure in himself. I think he'll do a great job as a leader of that organization.
Whoa.
And, you know, there's some things that you can look at and start to prepare your mind for. But, you know, there's some things that you can look at. Very secure in himself.
I'm
confused.
See, here's the thing. Rich Scangarello took this whole, if you could be the next Sean McVay thing, to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
He changed his voice. He's a ventriloquister. Ister?
He's speaking in character.
Yeah.
He's an impressionist. Yeah.
Impressionist.
It's like Rich Little.
Oh, ventriloquist used the dummy? Yeah. Hand up the old skirt. Next on the Morning Brew.
I was disappointed with our first 10 in the second. I thought that was when they poured it on us. We got some big saves from Groovy. We fell behind right around the 10-minute mark there. We had a little chat on the bench, and our guys really dug in, and our guys started to roll a little bit. I thought we were really good from then on.
The Habs had to dig in. They were down. They took Calgary's best shot early, down 2-1 entering the third, and, well, they got it done.
Just an impressive victory to be down 2-0. And one of our texters on our text line, I appreciate this, says that the only time that the Calgary Flames have lost a 2-0 lead is to the Avs in the playoffs. And I think it's happened twice. So you gotta think about what they've been able to accomplish. And, you know, as Bednar said, you know, we had a little chat on the bench around the 10-minute mark. Hey, boys, you know, we got our P's and Q's together here. And they went out there and they got that done. I think the big thing is you look at the power play, the Avs have been great. The Avs have shut them down in 5-on-5 hockey. But the power play, that's where they've given up. That's where they've given up scores. And I get that special teams is important and you've got to be able to, you know, do that. They did that. They killed a penalty in that overtime period. They killed a penalty. And right after they get the full strength after that penalty kill, they end up scoring, McKinnon slaps one over or snaps one over to Ratnan, and he ends up, you know, deflecting it in. It was a beautiful goal. I mean, absolutely beautiful. And you know, they end up winning in overtime. So a huge victory for the Colorado Avalanche.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Nolan drives this ball to center field, pretty deep, way back, and three in a row. A birthday bomb for Nolan Arenado, and the Rockies have scored in the first inning. How do you like that?
Yeah, how do you like that? How do you like this positive momentum the Rockies seem to be building, of course, home tonight against the Phillies?
Home tonight against the Phillies. You've got a chance right now. I think Freeland's on the mound on the bump tonight. Freeland's got a chance to kind of write. Not that he's been horrible, but he just hasn't been what he was at the end of last season. And I'll tell you, if you can get the kind of performances you got out of John Gray, and Sensatella was tremendous against the Giants the other day, and what Marquez did against the Giants was unreal. If you can get the kind of performance where Kyle Freeland writes the ship, you got a chance to be pretty good. I mean, you got a chance to, like, you weathering the storm of the lack of production at the dish, and now all of a sudden guys are starting to hit. Nolan Arenado's gone three straight games with the bomb. Those are the things you need to make happen here if you're the Colorado Rockies. So, like, I'm encouraged. I'm still, they're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. I'm still concerned. But I am encouraged that they've kind of weathered this. I mean, it was ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly.
And they weren't pitching well. They weren't
hitting at all.
They weren't producing at the dish at all. So this is a really good sign for them.
Yeah, it's a good sign to mentally be able to shake that off and then get back on the right track. Next to the Morning Brew.
Gronk thought of a great idea. He'd play around and get a swing. And as he's lined up, Jules is the pitcher. Gronk standing there, and I think we're all under the impression, I mean, no way is he going to swing a Lombardi trophy.
A little strange. We're thinking he's not going to swing the bat. He's not going to do it. When 11 throws the ball, we see 87 go from a batting position to a bunt.
Rob Gronkowski dented the Lombardi trophy by bunting from a Julian Edelman pitch?
Yeah.
Way to go, Gronk.
You know, that's Gronk gives zero you know what.
Mm-hmm.
He just
none of it.
No, doesn't matter. I don't know, have you ever spent time around Gronk?
Just a little bit at the Super Bowl.
He is a piece of work, man. But I tell you what, you know, there are certain guys that you look at like that and you're just like, man, that dude is just like, he just doesn't care. He's just going to do. I mean, he does. Obviously, he's a professional and he works his butt off and he's had a phenomenal career. And I don't know that he's going to stay retired. But like what people think, of him, they think he's just a big dumb caveman. He's a lot smarter than you think.
I was going to say, is it an act or is it really who he is? Because It seems like he's playing a character. Like, I'm Gronk now. And then he's Rob at home. Robbie.
Yeah, but he, like, his whole family's like that, though. They're all a little bit characters. Touched. Yeah, they're all, like, they should have their own WWE show. Like, they should have some, the whole family goes into, you know, into wrestling. They're like the wrestling
family. Just thought of another show to pitch.
Right. The Gronkowskis.
The Wrestling Gronks.
Yeah. And their journey into WWE. I mean, it'd be tremendous because, you know, he's got a bunch of brothers that all played. Right, tight ends and fullbacks, and they've got a bunch of, there's a bunch, and the dad might as well have played. I mean, dad is, you know, all yoked up, and he's kind of interesting too. So, I mean, it would be a great show, but yeah, how about Gronk laying down a bunt with a Lombardi trophy? And it's a dented Lombardi trophy. Are they going to get it repaired, or are they just going to leave it like that and just hang it up?
It'd almost be better if they left it that way.
I think so too.
It'd be a great story.
I mean, you got six of them hanging in your trophy room. There's a great story. You got plenty. Hey, look at number six here. He's got this big dent. You know how that happened.
Right.
I think it'd be great. Yeah, it was Gronk.
And he didn't headbutt it.
No.
He bunted with it.
Yeah.
So, okay. What did you do with the Lombardi trophy? Kissed it? Twice?
I didn't do anything with it. I didn't touch it.
You didn't touch it?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Three times. You didn't touch the Lombardi trophy?
Uh-uh.
The ultimate, the peak of everything that you do in football. And you didn't touch the trophy.
I've touched it since, like, with taking pictures at an event, and it's at the event with people. But as a player, no, I never touched it. I never carried it around, and I just went and took my uniform off.
Okay.
I'm an offensive lineman, and nobody wants to see me run around. They're like, who's that guy that took the Lombardi trophy? Get it back for and give it to a quarterback. Quick. Somebody stole it.
Terry Bradshaw's got to say something quick.
Yeah.
As an analyst, obviously. Stink's just here to take his shirt off. That's a wrap for the Morning Brew. You hear it each and every morning at 6:30 right here on Schlereth and Evans. Cecil Lammy sitting in for Mike Evans. And what makes the perfect quarterback for this system? And is it Joe Flacco? We'll get into that next. All right, so what should we be looking for with Joe Flacco? What should we be expecting from him now? A couple of days ago at UCL Training Center, Flacco said, hey, this is really familiar to the Shanahan. A lot of language is similar. So that's something that should give him a leg up or a head start anyway.
Yeah, that offense, like I could go in, I could walk over there right now, and there would be some terms that are different. There'd be some things that we're doing that are different, like the language of it would be a little bit, there would be some things that are different. There would be a lot of things that would be identical to what we ran and what we called it. So, you know, I've been done for 20 years. So there's still a lot of crossover there. So from 2014 to 2019, a lot of the root of that offense will be called the same. And conceptually, there will be a lot of things that are the same, but there's going to be a lot more, and there'll be a lot more call two plays in the huddle, kind of a kill it program, what is big in Kyle Shanahan's deal. So most of the time when Kyle Shanahan calls a play, he calls the first play and the second play. And then, you know, they'll throw a motion in there or something. And then based upon how the defense reacts, if the defense reacts the way they like it, they keep the play on. If they don't, then they check to the second play that they've called. So there's a ton of that that goes on in that offense now that was for us. We were more call it and run it, you know, and we would adjust routes and adjust whatever. So there's part of that that goes on in Scangarello. So that'll be a little bit different than what Joe Flacco ran under Gary Kubiak. But the root of it, the base of it is, I would imagine it's like learning a language, you know, like when you're fluent in French, you know, Italian is easy to pick up because it's got a lot of the same roots.
Right.
I think.
Well, Spanish and Italian.
Good. Spanish good, and though, Italian, right?
It
sounded like I knew what I see. A lot of times you just state it like it's fact.
Right.
And people are just like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's 100% right.
Well, then people will be at work and they'll be like, yeah, you know, French, Italian, same thing.
Right, exactly.
Similar.
Like German. Guten Tag, you know? It's close. Everybody knows that. Oh, yeah, it has the same root as Czechoslovakian. Pragian. Something like that.
I was listening to 99 Luft Balloons the other day.
Exactly.
And I thought, wow, this Spanish version sounds just like the German version. You and I.
the Spanish version. The Spanish version. I love this song. You know, I'm almost disappointed, though, when I'm in the car and I'm listening to 80s on 8, and this song comes on, and it's not the German version. I mean, I like the English version of this song, but I love the German version of this song.
Is it because she could be saying anything and you just don't really know?
Yeah, and then I'm just making up my own words and my own lyrics, and yeah, I like that. That's, to me, that's fun. So yeah, I'm like, oh, I like this song, but I kind of wish we had the German version. Yeah, see, you can just throw it in there.
My job's done.
Yeah.
Entering these 3 days filling in for Evans, I was like, I got to get Stink to sing in German. So that's all I got to do.
Yeah, tell me what, like, you're over there. You're over at the Broncos facility with these, what are they, voluntary veteran mini camps?
Voluntary veteran mini camp. Let's get a longer name for that.
All right, so I would say I think a lot of Broncos country would like to know what's different. Like, you've been over there when Vance Joseph was on the show for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see that's tangible that you can go, yeah, you can sink your teeth into and say, this is different. This, for me, is much better. Because I've told you, man, I went to, like, I've gone to a practice in Miami, several practices in Miami, where Adam Gase was the head coach, and it's the worst Friday practice I've ever seen.
They're doing dance competitions,
right, yeah,
in Miami.
Exactly. And then I went to a Friday practice in Atlanta with Dan Quinn, and it's one of the sharpest. It reminded me of our Friday practices when I was in Denver under Mike Shanahan. We're having fun, but it is work, and we are flying around and, you know, tagging each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that's the way practice should look. So are there tangible differences for you watching the last 2 years of these OTAs and these voluntary, mandatory mini camps and all this kind of crap? Is there anything tangible that you can kind of sink your teeth into?
Yeah, there seems to be more accountability. Like, and I, again, it's 2 days. You're not going to go overboard about that or the observations, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of teachable moments. It seems very Gary Kubiak or Mike Shanahan-ish as a practice. And then Joe Flacco, when he's off, he's upset about that. Like, I remember watching Case Keenum miss pass after pass, and he just, like, you know, shrug and go back to the huddle. Flacco is like a run it again type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty refreshing to see, you know, because you're not going to be perfect in practice. And when you're off, you want to run it again. You want to get it right. And that's what I've seen early from Joe Flacco.
Which is good. What about, like, are they doing individual stuff? Do they do team stuff? What do they do?
We can't watch the team stuff yet.
Okay.
There will be, I think, maybe a handful, like five full practices we'll get to watch during the off season. Right now, it's mainly individual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And very little team stuff.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. We'll see what they continue to do here with Joe Flacco and Rich Scangarello. Rich Scangarello did describe yesterday what he wanted to see from Joe Flacco or any quarterback.
You know, when I think of quarterback play, I think their job is to make everyone around them better. That's what you do in an organization. They're the most important position generally in an organization. And with Joe, I think he's been asked to do a lot of things over his career. Sometimes it's be a game manager with a great defense. Sometimes it may fall on your shoulders in close games. I think he won a Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl champion because he was able to do that. And I think he can do whatever we ask of him. And I think that's the sign of a great quarterback.
Word salad with Rich Scangarello. Or was that Sean McVay?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure.
I think he brings up a really interesting point that... And the interesting point is this, is that Joe Flacco has won in a myriad of different ways. And that playoff run he went on when he gambled on himself and said, no, I don't need this, you know, $18, $19 million contract. I'm going to wait and, you know, gamble on myself. Then he went through an 11 touchdown, zero interception playoff
run. He was unconscious.
He was unreal. But I think it's a really interesting point. Anything that we've asked him or that he's been asked to do over the course of his career, he's done it. Like, there's an unselfishness there that permeates an organization. So if I need you to be the game manager because we've got a great defense, I can be the game manager. Like, I'm not so egotistically driven that I don't have to be like the guy, so to speak, in that way. Like, you think Ben Roethlisberger is like, yeah, let me just manage this game because that's going to give it. No. I want to throw some touchdowns. Right? I think that's an important aspect of this team as this team continues to, I know they don't like to say it, but to rebuild, you've got to be able to do that. So that to me is a great thing.
Good signs out there at UCL Training Center, and a good sign, cause it snuck up on us, brother, but you know, it's about time to clear the air.
Oh, yeah. It did kind of sneak up, but I'm sure I've got something prepared over here.
You're ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Be a good one.
Stink is ready with a good one to clear the air next.